We parents work hard every day at reaching our children's hearts. It's a big, important job, and boy, oh boy, are there a lot of obstacles that stand in the way of our mission. When it all starts feeling too big and too overwhelming and maybe too frustrating, what can we focus on to continue to reach their hearts? Mama, there is hope in the chaos, hope in the difficult and overwhelming. That hope comes from keeping clarity about the true mission of parenting, which is something that Rich and I have come to call Operation Wholeness. My husband Rich and I have been zeroed in on this mission for over 16 years now, and it's been the most life-changing, family-growing thing we've done, and I want to share it with you. We've got 7 kids, plus 3 in-law kids, 4 grandchildren, with number 5 arriving in June, and we've been married 32 years. But 16 years ago, we needed a major overhaul in our family, more specifically in us, the parents. It's been a process. It's taken time, but we have truly come to live a very different life because our mindset changed on what is the mission of this big life that we've got. And then how do we implement the mission and stay focused on the mission? Well, God really helped us to transform our thinking. He also helped us zero in on the obstacles that stand in the way of our kids' hearts. God has given us a simple way to keep our focus on the heart of the issues that matter most. The material that I'm bringing to you in this series is the single most important change we have made. I want to simplify our mission of partnering with God in removing obstacles that stand in the way of reaching the hearts of our kids and our own hearts growing too. This is going to bring a lot of clarity to parenthood for you. We're going to talk about it all right here in this new series, Clarity for the Mission of Parenthood, on season 5 of the Practically Speaking Mom podcast, the place for intentional moms to build strong families. So let's go. Welcome to part 2 of Clarity for the Mission of Parenthood. Last time in part 1, we looked at that all of the responsibilities you have can be divided into 2 categories, heart issues or monkeys. Monkeys are all those pesky responsibilities we have that are not of long-term significance. They are certainly not eternal issues, and they are not heart issues. They're just the, you know, pay the bills, make the meals, do the laundry. They're all of those pesky responsibilities that we have, but they're not heart related. They're not long-term related. And then we talked about that you want to be aware of, learn to identify, is this a heart issue or a monkey issue that I'm dealing with here? And then secondly, be aware of the dangers. 2 dangers to be aware of. Number 1, don't treat monkeys as important as heart issues. Don't get super upset about how they're loading the dishwasher. Instead, let's train them. Let's make a system. Let's honor our word enough to keep the system and keep that on a non-heart level issue. What I meant by that, as I talked about last week, is we don't want to harm our relationship over a monkey issue. We want to value heart issues as more important. Monkey issues, those we're supposed to create systems for those so that we can go on autopilot about those and our time, energy, emotions, and thought, focus all get to remain on what matters most, the heart of our kids, growing them and preparing them for life. The second danger, so the first danger was don't treat monkeys as important as heart issues. The second danger is don't treat heart issues like monkeys. Don't take something that is a heart issue, an opportunity where we could connect heart to heart, and just treat it like another moment in time that doesn't really matter. Just, you know, like I described as we're all ships in the same ocean, but we're all operating independently. Don't do that. Connect heart to heart. Identify the heart opportunity times and take them. Don't treat heart issues and heart times like you would monkeys. They're not in the same category. That's where we went last week. Now let's take this all to the next step in our effort to clarify the mission of parenthood. Now, I've talked to you guys for a few years now about the six questions of your child's heart, and that basically as parents, we have six heart gifts. G-I-F-T-S. Not gifts. We have six messages, six longings that our kids' hearts need filled. And we have six messages we need to give them to fill those. And it's not a one-time deal. It's an ongoing lifestyle of meeting the needs of their hearts. Those needs being treasuring them, protecting them, truly knowing them, affirming them, including them, and restoring with them. Those six areas, which, you know, I'm writing a book on that right now. And as I work on it and it unfolds, I will share more of that with you, take that deeper. But here's the thing that I want you to think about today. We have these messages that we want to get to our kids' hearts. You are worth treasuring. You are worth protecting. You are worth knowing. You are worth affirming. You're worth it to include you and to restore with you. That's your worth, your intrinsic value that God placed on you when He designed you. And no person or situation is allowed to relabel your worth. No, you remain worth treasuring no matter what. And I will always treasure you no matter what. I will always be excited to know the real deep down you no matter what. I will always seek to protect you no matter what. You know, these messages that we want to get to their hearts. Here's the thing. Yeah, we need to learn how to give those messages, but there are also obstacles in the way of getting those messages to their hearts. Those obstacles include wounds. Something has happened that has caused them to have a wound on their heart that caused a wall to go up. And so they're less willing to receive our love messages. That is one obstacle that could come. I'm just going to rattle off a list of obstacles real quick because we're not going to get into the nitty gritty of them. At this time, I just want to kind of give you an overview for a second. Another obstacle could be dynamics, like me and my son are very different. I have three sons, so I'm not speaking of any of them particularly right now, but I'm just giving you an example. I have a very different personality than one of my kids. That could cause clashing. Or maybe the same personality. We're just so much alike that we, you know, always clashed. So dynamics between us, for example, I've mentioned on here before, I'm a fast, let's get in there and get it done. And another one of, you know, multiple of my kids are slows. They want to evaluate all the aspects. They want to consider what all could go wrong and what they will do about that before they take action, before they make a decision. And so that difference of fast and slow, that can cause a dynamic clash. Obstacles that stand in the way of my heart messages reaching their hearts. What about deficiencies? Deficiencies in their heart. We're going to get into what that can mean at a later time. So dynamics, deficiencies, wounds that cause walls, warped thinking, skewed perspectives, sin. It could be generational sin or personal sin. These things represent obstacles that stand in the way of our messages for their heart reaching their heart. Doesn't it just break your heart sometimes when you can tell, man, they're struggling with a low self-esteem right now, or discouraged about this or that, or they see themselves in such a negative light when they're amazing? You know, doesn't that just break your heart? And you want to transfer how you feel and what you think of them into their heart and help them to see it that way, but they don't receive it well. Have you experienced this? This is what I'm talking about. Obstacles that stand in the way of our heart messages reaching their heart. That's a place that I want to go in this series with you. Now, here's what I think of when I think about all of these obstacles that stand in the way of how we want to be growing our kids. I think of the song Maria from The Sound of Music. Maria in The Sound of Music is a young nun, and the nuns are having a really hard time getting her to, you know, act like a nun and be like a nun. In the long run, she really finds that she wasn't designed to be a nun. So she ends up, you know, marrying the widowed dad of all the kids. And so that's the story of The Sound of Music. But there is a song in The Sound of Music that is called Maria, and it's sung by all the nuns, and it's so cute. I'm going to read you some words from that. She climbs a tree and scrapes her knee. Her dress has got a tear. She waltzes on her way to mass and whistles on the stair. And underneath her wimple, she has curlers in her hair. I even heard her singing in the abbey. How could she? Many a thing you know you'd like to tell her. Many a thing she ought to understand. But how do you make her stay and listen to all you say? How do you keep a wave upon the sand? She's always late for chapel, but her penitence is real. She's always late for everything except for every meal. I hate to have to say it, but I very firmly feel Maria's not an asset to the abbey. When I'm with her, I'm confused, out of focus and bemused, and I never know exactly where I am. Unpredictable as weather, she's as flighty as a feather. She's a darling, she's a demon, she's a lamb. She'd out-pester any pest, drive a hornet from its nest. She could throw a whirling dervish out of whirl, whatever that means, I don't know. She is gentle, she is wild, she's a riddle, she's a child, she's a headache, she's an angel, she's a girl. How do you solve a problem like Maria? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? How do you find a word that means Maria? A flibbertigibbet, a will-o'-the-wisp, a clown. How do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? That's most of the words of the song Maria from The Sound of Music. This so mirrors what we experience as parents, where we just get frustrated with all these little details in our kid. And there's things that we want to help them grow, and yet we're just so frustrated with all of these things. But in this song, there are hidden three really special little messages that I want to point out to you today. And this is where we're going to focus for today. I'm going to read three lines to you. How do you keep a wave upon the sand? How do you catch a cloud and pin it down? How do you hold a moonbeam in your hand? So a wave, a cloud, and a moonbeam. I think that this song really illustrates that, yeah, there's a whole lot of frustrating things there. Yeah, there's a whole lot of lessons that our kids need to learn. But ultimately, my child is a magnificent, unique design from God. They're like a wave, a cloud, a moonbeam. They're incredible. And I need to keep that in mind, because that's what matters most. I need to learn to keep my focus on their long-term design over the short-term little things that represent ways they still need to grow. The fact of the matter is, I have a lot of ways I still need to grow. And if God looked at me and said, oh my goodness, you have 300 different ways you need to grow, I'm so annoyed with you. No, he doesn't do that. He picks out the one or two, or possibly as many as three, but not usually more than three, things that he shows us over and over again for a little while, keeps pointing out to us, hey, it's time to grow in this area. Hey, let's work on this. Hey, here's a tool to help you grow. Here's some encouragement to help you grow in these one to three areas. That's God's approach with us. I've experienced it over and over again for decades now, that the Holy Spirit really only pulls out a few things at a time for me to work on. Now, I may recognize more in me that brings discouragement and, well, just discouragement. about how imperfect I am. But that's not how God operates. He gives us bite-sized amounts to work on, you know, doable growth steps. In spite of his awareness of all of our imperfections, he gives us small growth steps. And he can see the long view. He's got clarity on the true mission of our growth. And that's what we want to have as parents as well. Let's keep it simple. Identify heart from monkey issues. And then let's also learn to not get overwhelmed with all the imperfections in our kids, but zero in on the few things that we can help them grow with now, today. One thing I want to add here is that we do have a former podcast episode that would be a really good follow-up to this, and it's called Small Steps with Big Results. I think that's what it's called, but I will put a link to it in the show notes so that you can listen to that as well. Moms, thank you for joining me here today. I have to tell you, we're not even to the main key element yet of Clarity for the Mission of Parenthood. I haven't even gotten to introduce it to you yet. We will actually introduce the main concept in part 4 of this series. So we've got a little bit more of working up to get there, but I do believe that parts 1 through 3 have plenty of practical steps for you to take on your road towards becoming focused in your true mission of parenthood. So we're going to get there in part 4. We've got a little more work to do before then. Okay, I will see you next time for part 3 of our series, Clarity for the Mission of Parenthood. You've been listening to Val Harrison on the Practically Speaking Mom podcast, your place for an intentional mom to build strong families. I'll see you next time. Thank you.